Hello. This is the story of Nuntak the Runner. Nuntak was the second human to whom the seal goddess gave breath. He was a great runner and moved across the ice and rock of winter like the wind. In summer, his footprint stretched for miles across the great tundra. But Nuntak also loved to argue. With anyone and everyone he met, he found something to quarrel about or complain about or just shout about in an obnoxious manner. He insulted the friendly narwhal, who then slipped back into the sea and didn't show himself for months. He scowled at his brother, the Arctic fox, who then made himself white so as to be invisible against the snow, except for a tiny black nose and two beady black eyes that followed Nuntak around. He berated the moon and the sun and the stars for no good reason, who then took turns to hide away from him in a quiet place beneath the earth. Even the seal goddess was scolded, so her children refused to come near any of the ice holes that Nuntak cut. Soon, nobody wanted to speak to Nuntak. He was perfectly happy about this. He argued and shouted and quarrelled because he looked at everyone else and couldn't see himself. "Who am I?" he shouted at the sky in fury. Inside, he was rather sad and alone, and so much he didn't dare even think about feeling his sadness. So instead, at night, he sat by a fire, fuming. His anger was so infective that the fire spirit, who up to now had been peaceful and gentle, began to burn angrily too, with all of fierce, consuming rage. One day the seal goddess came to see him and asked him to be a little bit more kind to his fellows, and in reply Nuntak cursed and spat on the ground in ill temper. This was not a wise move. A cloud passed over the sun in what had been a cloudless sky. Something large and ancient stirred in the ooze of the ocean floor. Raven felt the shadow, sunk down deep into her nest, shuddered, and looked up out of one eye to make sure the sky was still in her usual place. "So," said the seal goddess icily, "you are Nuntak the Runner." "Yes, obviously," said Nuntak, pulling a sour face at her. "Then you should run," said the seal. Nuntak found his legs were moving themselves, and he began to run. Faster and faster he ran. Soon he overtook the wind. He looked back at it in surprise, but his legs just carried on moving. The day finished as the sun hid from him and pushed the moon up along with her stars up into the sky so they could take their turn. But Nuntak continued to run. Time passed. Sun and moon came and went many times, and warm summer turned to icy winter, and still Nuntak ran. And the ground moved under him as a blur. Deep winter came, and a storm greater than he had ever seen moved towards him. The wind was heavy with sharp ice, and it tore at his smock and leggings. Greater and greater blew the wind, and after shredding his clothes, it stung his skin, and he yelped, and then it started to shred Nuntak himself. But he still kept running. He just couldn't help himself. He begged the seal goddess to let him stop and make a shelter, but there was no reply. And gradually, all of Nuntak's flesh was taken by the wind and ice. Even his bones were scoured white. Still, he carried on running through the blind white gale, which rushed through his eye sockets and cleaned out his brains. The only part that was left, even the slightest bit soft, was his heart, which showed red through the white cage of his ribs. And still he ran. Eventually, even his bones, also reduced by the ice blast, to dust, and they fell into the white snow and disappeared. All that remained was their raw marrow and the beating heart. And still Nuntak ran. Old Man Winter turned his head towards where Spring lay sleeping, and stroked her forehead with his cold hand. Her eyes opened, laughing and bright green. The gale softened. The ice needles fell to earth and melted. Tiny gentians and blades of grass trembled under the ice in expectation as the sun drew them out of the ground. Then a strange thing happened. Nuntak's heart began drawing all kinds of flotsam and jetsam towards it, as if it were a magnet, and whatever touched him stuck, just like a fly might stick to a spider's web, or maybe more like a baby might latch onto its mother's breast, or one snowflake might embrace and melt into another as they fall to earth beside each other. Nuntak felt viscerally every piece as it stuck fast to him. A hair from the coat of the white bear was the first to come, closely followed by a grain of sand that had been blown high by the wind all the way from the Africa. A tear of gratitude shed by Owl when she took her very first mouse in her very first summer landed directly on his heart. Nuntak felt a certain companionship in that. He was less certain about the drop of urine from Dog, and even less willing to touch the hot air moist with mucus and snot from the blowholes of the whale people. But he actually had no choice in the matter. All he could do was watch. The left hind leg of an ant gatecrashed the party. A small piece of dried dung dropped 10 seasons ago by a caribou also made its home next to a very small, so small it was almost invisible, piece of the Altai Mountains. A fragment of silver bark, a green larch needle, both adorned the growing and jostling crowd that was gradually taking shape around Nuntak's heart. Here too was pollen from the sweetest flowers, shards of light from the sun, the moon, the stars, also somehow joined in, as did the shapes and the colours of the landscape that he was still running through. A particle of dust that had fallen from the pole star, a wisp of moss, a flake of salmon that Bear had half eaten and left on a rock to dry in the sun. And even stranger things came from times and places that lie on the edges of imagination. Nuntak somehow sensed that each fragment was joyful at being taken into this growing bundle of oddments. And so it continued, seemingly forever. There came a moment when Nuntak realized that he could see. And what he saw was that Seal was watching him closely, curiously, with something of a sparkle in her eye. He looked down and found that he, Nuntak, had a body once more. It was standing naked in a large field of white spring flowers. The sun also was beaming at him in a strange way, almost like it was nudging the sky and telling a private joke. The world was an infinity of stillness. The lightest of warm breezes rose from the south and caressed his face. In it was the scent of ice and distant pine forests. More stillness filled a space that echoed a time before there was even an earth. A long-lost memory stirred from deep inside Nuntak, and he started to speak to the seal. Before his lips had formed the last word shape, Nuntak knew the question was already answered. He was everything. There was not one part of this world, from sea to lake to mountain, or any animal or fish or bird, from the largest to the tiniest, or any plant from any place on earth that was not inside him. There was no point naming Raven as he flew above Nuntak on his way home, because a fragment of one of Tulak's wing feathers was also now Nuntak. There was nothing that was not Nuntak, just as he was also Raven, just as he was everyone and everything. Seal looked at him curiously again, and Nuntak realized that the one thing that had not stuck to him was a piece of Seal. There was another long silence as his mind tried to find the question that would seek the answer to the indescribable feeling in the middle of his breast. He was still searching for it, fumbling for its shape under mossy stones that had come to rest a couple of inches under his scalp, just as a child would hunt for crabs when Seal started to speak. "Hey, Nuntak, it's good to have you back." She smiled. "You know, I do believe you're hardly any different from the Nuntak I used to know." Nuntak blinked. Seal's eyes were deep pools of darkness, and Nuntak thought they could be full of stars if only he would fall far enough into them. But they were no longer standing in the field amongst the endless sea of white flowers. He was on the sea ice. Nuntak was wearing his best sealskin trousers and smock with warm sealskin boots. What he thought was Seal's right eye was actually a circular ice hole in which Seal's head was visible. What he had thought was the left eye turned out to be the shape of his wife, who rose up from where she'd been curled up asleep in a small hollow. For a long time, her face and dark sealskins had not walked into the front of his memory. "Do I really have a wife?" said Nuntak to himself in surprise and not a little wonder. Nuntak realised that the seal had continued speaking to him all this time. It was all a bit too much like a dream. He took so long to shake himself and feel awake enough that he only caught the last couple of sentences. "I always put my heart into everything I make. You should consider doing the same," said Seal. As the last word came to its end, the seal's nostrils closed, her nose disappeared under the dark water without a ripple, and Nuntak was left staring at a reflection of the sky. The sun beamed happily. Two small dots blinked momentarily in the snow in front of him and then were gone. "No," said Nuntak to the ice hole, "I am not Nuntak the Runner. But what I really am, my real name, that might take a while to discover." He turned back towards his wife. The soft dark pools at the centre of her eyes reminded him of something, but hard as he tried, he really couldn't remember what that was. Maybe if he searched hard enough, he would find it again. She smiled. The seal goddess, with her companions sun, moon and sky, watched as they always do. The seal goddess turned to the sun and said, "Didn't you once ask me why I made humans to be hunters?"